Kobe Bryant gonna save a lot of money on playoff tickets because the Lakers are not gonna make the playoffs. That's no disrespect. Kobe Bryant's played a ton of minutes. He's got a lot of jumps in those legs. That's the reason they can't get healthy. They're gonna be healthy at the beginning of the season because he hasn't played in any games. Because, you know, as I always tell people, when you're playing against air during the summer, air doesn't hit back. But then when he has to go out there and he has to go like, oh, Carmelo's here. Oh, LeBron's here. Oh, Kevin Durant's here. Oh, Derrick Rose is here. Listen, I love Kobe Bryant. He's one of the 10 greatest players ever. But it's over for him and the Lakers.
Harsh words from Charles Barkley as the NBA unveils its 2014-15 schedule. Do not look for the Lakers in the postseason, says Sir Charles. For what that's worth.
Well, I did look at their roster and... Let me ask you if any of these guys get you excited if you're a Lakers fan.
No.
Jeremy Lin.
I actually like Jeremy Lin, but okay.
Does it get you, do you feel good? Do you feel confident?
I like Jeremy Lin.
Okay. You like him as
I think he's a nice backcourt mate for Kobe. I like Jeremy Lin. I'm a Jeremy Lin fan.
Okay. Carlos Boozer.
I liked him 10 years ago, yes.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. So you actually did like him.
Yeah, he was
like,
a good player.
At some point in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Nash.
Not anymore. Sorry, okay. Steve. I mean, sorry, I love the old Steve. Again, 10 years ago. Great.
Nick Young. We like to call him Swaggy P.
I like to call him Stan Heath Career Killer.
Okay. Yeah, he doesn't really do it for anybody, I don't think. Julius Randle.
Like
Young lefty from Kentucky.
Fantastic.
Like him, but he is not going to be...
A game changer.
Not even close.
Agree.
And Xavier Henry, I don't know if you remember him from Kansas. Probably not.
Mm-mm.
Wesley Johnson.
I love Wesley Johnson. He's like 42, isn't he?
Ryan Kelly. Mm. Big ugly stork from Duke.
Don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. And Kobe.
Barkley might be onto something. I would also say, though, the year after Cleveland went to the finals with LeBron in LeBron's first finals appearance, he said that Cleveland would not make the playoffs. He was wrong. So, you never know. The Memphis Grizzlies also have released their schedule. We're not a Memphis Grizzlies affiliate, but they are the closest NBA team. There are probably more OKC fans and Laker fans here than there are Grizzlies fans. But I would say Memphis is a short jaunt. Memphis has a great environment, and Memphis has a ton of good restaurants within walking distance of their arena. So I would strongly encourage you to go over and do what Pat and I have done many times over the last few years, and that's take in some Memphis Grizzlies games. Their home slate includes the Knicks, the... OKC Thunder on January 31st. They're hosting Cleveland, actually, in their second home game.
Oh, yeah?
On October 22nd. But that's a preseason game, I assume, because they don't start the season until the 28th. But that's still a good opportunity to see LeBron for a few minutes. Let's see. Do they have Cleveland in a regular season game? Yes. They play March 25th. March 25th. Mark your calendars. Cleveland comes to Memphis. So I'm guessing that that will be sold out immediately, and we'll even have a hard time. I had a hard time getting media passes for the Clippers game last year, so I can't imagine how difficult that's going to be. By the way, the Clippers come to town on the 27th of February.
Yeah, you get the best chance of might as well be sucking up to some millionaire that's sitting courtside.
Well, we can get tickets, but a lot of people can't. Boston comes to town November 21, so if you want to go watch your Beantown bunch. OKC on Friday the 3rd, that's April 3rd. And, of course, the January appearance that I mentioned earlier. Lakers come on Friday, March 6th, and Tuesday the 11th. Clippers also November 23rd, which is a Sunday. So for those of you who want to go over and check out the Clippers playing, you know, they stay in the hotel right across the street. I think I told you guys this. I was sitting in the bar at the Westin across the street from the arena, and Chris Paul strolls across.
That's your boy.
Oh, whoops. My bad. So he can't do it today?
We had that problem. Well, he hasn't responded, but he's probably in a meeting or something.
Oh, my bad.
We were a day off all week. So.
I really have.
Rick was supposed to be on
They were supposed to have Rick on today, but I maybe told him yesterday. My bad.
So he was waiting for us yesterday?
Yeah. I knew it wasn't yesterday. I knew I didn't want him yesterday. I just probably didn't articulate
that. Instead of saying the day of the week, you said
tomorrow.
He said tomorrow, and you said that'll work.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah. Anyway.
And when was written? Tuesday?
Yeah, yes. Probably so. Anyway, if we can get him on, cool. If not, we'll talk to him later in the week. Or next week, or never at all. I don't know. Anyway,
or this afternoon?
Yeah, well, that's not going to help me any, is it? And the Indiana Pacers. The
Chris Paul.
Last home game. What? Yeah, oh, yeah, you got to see Chris Paul. He strolled through the bar. That was cool. I was like, what a Who's that little guy? And Tyronn Lue was hanging out with some family.
Tyronn is very short.
Yeah.
Very short.
I watched him play college ball at Nebraska.
We beat him.
I actually shot video for the college TV station when I was at Iowa State. I sat courtside and watched Tyronn Lue.
I actually beat him in the first round of the NCAA tournament, 98.
And Arkansas hasn't won a postseason game since. We missed you. Oh, you won another game after that, right? Was that your Sweet 16 year?
No.
Did you go to Sweet 16 your first year?
Yeah. That was the year we had a team that was good enough to go to the Final Four.
You went to the Sweet 16 your first year, and Arkansas has never been back since. Can you believe that? Can you believe that?
It's hard to believe.
I guess that's why they're putting you in the Hall of Honor this next month.
Goes by like a snap of a finger.
Did you see how good your Hall of Honor class is? Your Hall of Honor class is impressive.
Pretty good. I'm excited about Stacey Lewis. Have I told you that?
Yeah, 100 times. I know you want
to. Kanoy's our buddy, by the way. Do you remember? We always have him on every time we go to Dallas.
Kanoy Kennedy. Who else is in there? And there were a couple others. I was like, oh my gosh, this class is fantastic.
Some talented folks.
No, but seriously, tell me who else was in there, because I remember looking through it this morning, and I was like, my goodness gracious, look at all these people.
Let me ask you this.
Oh, you know what it was? It was Diane came up to my office, and we were looking through the table information. I think the station's going to the table? I hope so. If they don't, I will. How many people are coming from your family?
Like my immediate family? All of them.
You're all of your family?
Yeah. Brother, sister, mother, father.
You got four of them coming. Any buddies?
Gino Covino's going to be there.
Yeah? So we need like a table of 10 just for the Beantown crew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for all the guys.
All the guys are coming?
Probably not. Listen, the guys like Bobby the Mush.
Is Mush still in Dallas?
Mush is more of a come to the Little Rock versus Georgia football game.
Okay.
Because he likes to spread his wings and fly.
You mean he likes to party like it's 1999? What does he think we're going to do Friday night in Fayetteville? That Friday night, September 6th, 4th, whatever that is. September 4th, right?
Well, I'm hoping to have a nice...
September 5th. It is a Friday the 5th. Okay.
Fun time with Stacey Lewis.
You got to get over that. She's not interested in you. You're too.
How do we know? We've never asked her.
You're too fast for the room, big guy. She needs a quiet guy who can chill. She doesn't need a guy like you.
I could caddy for her.
I don't know, man. I don't know a lot of female golfers that got a thing for basketball dudes. Anyway.
Has there ever been a female golfer in a basketball game? Have there ever been two inductees that have ever, in fact, shared an intimate moment? Shamika Christian.
There's one. Going in. That's another one. She's that stood good. Out to me. She was fantastic. I got to cover her. She was great. Hot Springs native. Fantastic talent.
She's really good.
She was on the Final Four team for Arkansas, last women's Final Four team.
She
under Gary Blair, a guy that should never have been let go.
Yeah, he's the best.
Just saying.
She's a superstar. Robert Cox is the head coach of the tennis team. Been there for many, many years.
I'll take your word for it. Okay.
I do remember him. And, of course, Kanoy.
Kanoy. Who else?
Graham Hood.
Ah.
There's always a track and field guy.
Ah, Derek's cousin. Yeah. Great talent. Who else?
An old gentleman. Lewis Ramsey.
Okay.
QB back in 40 and 41 squads.
Oh, buddy.
So there you have it. Pat Morrison. He played in the Southwest Conference. Caught 20 passes for 240 and 2 TDs in his first season. How about those apples, Mr. Hunter Henry?
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
It's like Hunter's first season. Mm-hmm. Freddie Childress, one of your favorite people of all time.
No question.
All SWC selection.
Absolutely. Great talent.
But my bio is the shortest, so it goes to show you. That you can always tell.
Pat Bradley. Everett, Massachusetts native, made a whole crap pile of threes. We put him in, and we're proud to do it. That'll be the gist. Do you have somebody that like does a speech for you like at the Hall of Fame?
No, which I did watch Nolan Richardson's Hall of Fame speech.
And?
He was very animated.
He'll be there, won't he?
Yes.
Can he sit at my table? Because I'd love to hear him heckle you. Because actually, you're going to get a chance to heckle him this Thursday, and then a couple weeks later, he can heckle you from the crowd. That'll be fun. I want to sit right by him so we can make all kinds of smart-aleck comments about you while you're doing your speech.
It was funny watching his Hall of Fame speech.
Was it not great, though?
Yeah.
Pretty edgy.
Oh, there's no question. And I could see his mind working because he I'm trying to think specifically of how some of the little stories that he told. But
they're brilliant. We need to get those in the system, Matty T. That's going to be a time-consuming thing, 'cause there's a lot to pare through. Luckily, they bleeped
out. I'll
look
through it. I'll give you a...
It was funny, some of the words they didn't bleep and some of the words they did bleep. I was like, okay, well, whatever.
Poor Alonzo Mourning, I think, followed him. And
his kid fell asleep.
He had so much energy.
His kid fell asleep.
Alonzo's?
In his lap. You didn't see that?
I guess I didn't see that clip of it. That's but anyway, fine. Following Nolan is difficult for anybody because he's so animated. Voice is just booms throughout the room.
He's got some stories.
I did like LB. Magic was rolling. I'm like, Magic, take it easy. Was somebody tickling your feet or something? He was rolling in the aisle.
I didn't know that Nolan had such a love affair with Larry Bird.
Well, they actually...
I thought Joe Klein had a crush on Larry Bird until I heard Nolan talk.
Well, what's interesting is they were both Converse guys because I asked Coach about this because Larry is my favorite player.
Last two guys to wear Converse.
Right. And I said, did you know Larry Bird? Do you know Larry Bird? He says, yeah, well, he's a Converse guy, and they would fly all the Converse guys in for, you know, the annual convention or meeting. So he had flown with them and hung out with them. At that time, in the early 90s, mid-90s, coaches had their own contracts with companies. It wasn't like now where Nike
has the whole school.
Has the contract mm-hmm. with Arkansas. Coach Anderson has the contract with Nike. So everybody's under one umbrella. At that time, you negotiated your own deals. Nolan had Converse, and they paid him a lot of money. The university had what they had. Apex. I mean, I can remember they had like Apex, some knockoff stuff.
You did not play in Apex.
I didn't. The championship team had like Apex stuff. When I got there the first year, we wore Converse. But that started the rift because the university then won under one umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach won his own deal.
He's like, I'm getting my money on the side over here.
Don't mess with me. But they had forced him to come under their umbrella, and that was one of the rifts. And one of the stories is, I don't know if it's true, at the Reebok meeting, Coach walks in with a huge Converse hat.
That would not surprise me. Coach thumbs his nose at a convention.
So, speaking of coaches and money, have I told you who is the best college football coach for the money?
No.
Who would you think?
The best football coach for the money? I mean, I almost would say Nick Saban. He could probably make twice as much as he makes, and it'd still be justifiable.
He's number three on the list.
Okay, well, I wasn't too far off then.
He's number three on the list, and he makes $5.54 million.
How about the coach at Oregon?
No, sir.
How about Jim Mora Jr.?
No, sir.
What league?
Well, that'll give it away.
Okay.
So I can't give you that one. Sorry, sir. Oh, yeah, I can.
Okay, Bob Stoops.
No, sir.
Okay, good.
Not even close.
I'm trying to think of high-profile coaches.
I guess technically both of one and two are ACC.
So that means Petrino's one.
Uh-uh.
Okay. Jimbo Fisher?
He's number two. God. Jimbo Fisher... So basically what they
Frank Beamer, I don't even know how many ACC coaches I know.
And this is how they did it. This is from Forbes. Since taking the reins of their respective programs,
okay,
these coaches have basically helped their school regain their positions back on top of college football's elite.
Okay.
Jimbo Fisher,
and
since taking over, 26-2, and Jimbo makes $2.75 million a year. Comparison to Nick Saban, who's been 24-3 at Alabama, makes 5.54. So Jimbo Fisher has one less loss and two more wins? Interesting. The number one coach, are you ready for it? Do you want it?
Yeah, ACC?
Technically.
I don't know what that means.
They play five ACC games, I think, this year.
Oh, that does give it away. Okay, so it would be... Brian.
Yeah. The Everett, Massachusetts native Brian Kelly.
Oh, that's what this is
ladies
all about.
And gentlemen.
How did I not pick up on that?
Come on. Is that not a dead giveaway?
If you're going to bother with the story, of course it's going to have something related to Boston.
He is
BK?
Best investment.
BK? How much? Well, yeah, but that's bold. Now, wait, I do have to say this.
Say it.
You have no idea how much he makes any more than I do. Just like we don't have any idea how much is in their athletic coffers. Because it's a private school and they don't have to report that. We have no idea how much this dude makes.
Well, of course.
He could make $10 million a year. We wouldn't know it.
According to Jason Belzer, who contributed for this story.
Richard's brother?
He's a Forbes contributor.
Yeah.
Forbes contributor. He, sure. According to him, at a 21-5 record of the last two seasons and a BCS National Championship game appearance.
And a blowout loss.
Brian Kelly makes approximately $1.09 million a year.
He makes $1 million bucks a year?
One 0.09
million. No way. No chance, and you know better than that. You're not that naive. You know better than that. He makes like three times that, I guarantee you, at least.
He's
not,
from Everett, you know?
He probably makes five times that.
You could have paid him $100,000, he would have done it.
I bet he's the highest paid coach in the college.
Whoa!
Ranks.
Hey!
Probably is. I'm serious. It's Notre Dame, bro. They have unlimited amount of money. I guarantee he makes a hell of a lot more than $1 million a year. I'll tell you what.
0.09, is that a
heck
of a lot?
If you believe that he made $1 million last year, then you're going to believe that Joe Klein's 38-cent check he got for Eddie was all the money he made last year. There's no way, Pat. You know better than that. Come on.
So you think he renegotiated?
No, I don't think. I think they just report that, but he makes like five. They love to be secretive about their money because they don't have to tell. I'd be like, yeah, he makes $285,000.
So they could. Why haven't they or we heard about them throwing $15 million at Nick Saban or $12 million or more realistically?
Because they knew that
$8 million.
Because he's not a Notre Dame guy. They knew Brian Kelly would fit right in.
Fair enough. He is an Irishman. Certainly.
If it was Nick McSaban, might be a different deal.
I don't know. I think maybe you may be a little off on this because I'll tell you why.
I will bet you any amount of money that dude made over $2 million last year. Now, we'll never know, so it's fun to pretend. Hey, Notre Dame fans, people that are in the know.
Yeah, well, our lawyer is a Notre Dame guy.
Yes.
Here's why you may be off. Secrets in terms of coaches and trying to get a guy over and hire him, steal him from another school, the worst kept secrets of all time, right? You always find out. We found out Texas was trying to throw at Nick Saban.
No, but you did it. Now, wait a second. There's a claim by Paul Feinbaum, who's full of crap most of the time.
Except when he's talking to Baz.
Well, he wrote a book about it. I mean, but Nick Saban says that's baloney. So who am I to believe?
I don't know. You're telling me Nick Saban is going to tell the truth about that?
I don't necessarily trust Paul Feinbaum. I think he's a J-off.
All right, so both of them definitely
somewhere in the
sandbaggers.
Middle. Fine, okay.
Both of them are sandbaggers.
I got no use for.
But you don't think you would have heard about? I mean, they're probably very happy. I mean, he came from Cincinnati, Justin. Though, think about it. It's not like Notre Dame stole some high top level big name coach. Brian Kelly came from Cincinnati to Notre Dame. They probably, in Notre Dame, for him, is one of those, he probably would have made a lateral move in terms of salary just to coach at Notre Dame.
You know? Pat, let me ask you something. At the end of the day,
yeah,
your favorite line, in your heart of hearts, do you believe that Brian Kelly made $1 million last year? 1.09, do you believe that?
I can make a case for it.
You are making a case for it. I just totally disagree.
I don't think they had to give him any kind of raise to leave Cincinnati. I think they just had to offer him the job.
You automatically make more money going to a bigger, better, stronger, more powerful, more richer school. It's just automatic. It's guaranteed. It's just the way it goes.
Maybe the priest is taking all the money.
I mean,
you know who's number four?
Set me up for lawsuit jokes. Come on. What?
Among other things. You know who's number four? Mark D'Antonio.
Well, he's a great coach. He does a good job. I know the Pigskin can't stand it, but the guy does a good job.
Does he really?
I loved watching his defense perform last year. They smashed Urban Meyer's dreams. It made me so happy.
It's hot in here.
It's because you're so, keep your clothes on. It's because you're so full of baloney.
I'm talking about Notre Dame.
That's because it's so ridiculous, the argument you're trying to make
I'm
over there.
I'm talking about Notre Dame.
You must be thinking about Arizona State. Is that why you're getting hot over there?
Steve Spurrier, number five.
Okay. Got no problem with that. He's overachieved. I'm impressed with what he's
I don't know how much he makes.
I don't care how much he makes. He's been amazing.
Mark Richt is number 11.
Where does one Brett Bielema come in? Didn't make the list, huh? I guess when you only have three wins, it's hard to really.
I think you're being facetious, so I'm not going to answer that question.
I'm not being facetious.
Well, in fact,
I'm being for realist.
The SEC has the most coaches of any conference with six. There you have it.
Well, how about that?
Huh? Notre Dame basher.
I do have one other story here that you may have seen. I don't know when this will not become news, but it will not be today. In an interview with Compete Magazine, Arizona State offensive lineman Edward Serafin revealed that he's gay. Currently a backup lineman on the Sun Devils football team, save your jokes, pursuing a master's degree in biomedical engineering. So while you're joking around about all these things, he's going to be getting a pre-med degree.
What does biomedical engineering do?
I don't know, but it's something where he's going to make a lot more money than most sports talk radio hosts do. He explains that he's actually been out to his teammates since last spring of his own coming out. He tells teammates last spring it was very personal to me. It benefited my peace of mind greatly. I bet it did. Says he told his teammates mostly for himself and because he wanted them to hear it straight from him instead of the college rumor mill that players find themselves subjected to at some point. Just like his teammates, and just like Michael Sam's teammates, his teammates appear to have dealt with the fact that they have a gay man on their team just fine. You know, we have Michael Norvell as the offensive coordinator, former UCA Bear. I'd like to get him on, talk about that. That is a unique situation.
I'm sure if we got him on, he's going to stay the company line.
No question. I'm sure he is. But, I mean, it sounds like, by all accounts, Todd Graham has said, you know, what you would expect a coach say. We support him. He's one of us. We don't worry about his culture, creed, sexual preference, that kind of thing. But it's coming to the point where it's going to become a non-story, I assume. Maybe.
Probably so.
I mean, this is the first active guy. He's going to play a whole season as a college athlete, so it is somewhat groundbreaking.
That's true.
Michael Sam came out after the season was over. And I will tell them this, much like NFL fans, a lot of young, drunk college kids are not the most enlightened group of people sometimes. So I'm going to guess that at some Pac-12 stadiums, this young man will take some verbal and signage abuse, safe to say.
And unfortunately, because he is a backup lineman, he's probably going to be on the sidelines to hear it.
Oh, he'll have plenty of time to listen in to all the crude and rude comments. So, anyway, keep an eye out. You'll hear stories about Edward Seraphin, and you'll say, who's that? And instantly someone will say, that's the gay backup lineman from Arizona State.
He's a junior, senior?
Senior. Biomedical engineering. You know, that was my next choice behind broadcasting. I was going to be a biomedical engineer. I had a lot of cute nerds in that program.
Yeah,
probably don't.
I'll take your word for it.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. All I know is this. No matter what you major in college, and no matter what your preferences are in the world of dating, great place to go is Jim's Razorback Pizza. I think we can agree to that. They have fantastic food. My wife, the other night, we went over there Monday, and she had a Razorback salad, even though it was wing night. She's not a big wing person. And by that, I mean she doesn't eat wings.